Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comfort, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my praise. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell you. I will pray to you in my secret place. For you are my everything. Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds and begin to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer for worship. A praise of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. Before all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you. For you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. Surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to, Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Even when I don't know where my next meal is coming from, somehow, some way you make a way. You're my life. You're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me. And I gotta testify that you are. Trial of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. You calm my mind, just like you calm the sea. You
Yes, Lord, you are our everything, life, strength, joy, peace. You are our everything. It is 2023, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministry, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And you know, this is a youth day. So like on the fourth and fifth Sunday and Saturday of the month, we allow our youth to serve and participate in our morning worship service. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own little queen, Nedra Gaston. Welcome.
Hello, Grace.
Hello, good morning, Nedra. Good morning. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. Glad to have you this morning. Go for it, young lady.
Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. Why we're here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Now for the scriptures. Righteousness through faith. Romans 3, verses 19 through 26. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law of the righteous of God, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service, now or later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all those who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, fellowship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Nedra. We appreciate you, and just have a beautiful day.
You too.
Okay, thank you, sweetie. Okay. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very old shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here.
Let's go. presence of the Lord is here, and I'm going to get my blessing right now. Amen. That's what Jacob must have said when he wrestled with that angel. He said, hey, the presence of the Lord is here. That was the angel of the Lord. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Amen. Happy New Year, everybody. It is a new year, whether we like it or not. God has given us another year. It's another opportunity. Like my pastor, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr., like to say, it's the God of another chance. God has given us another chance. Amen. So everything that went wrong last year, scrap it. Amen. Everything that went right, keep it and add to it. Amen. Now, look, the Lord has set this thing up like this, y'all. If we're going to get something for God, you know how we get it? We're going to have to, in 2023, look, don't worry for it. Don't stress for it. Don't get depressed for it. Don't fight for it. Amen. If you want it, believe for it. That's the only way we can get anything from the Lord. is to believe for it. The Lord will put us in a situation because he knows that we have what we need to believe. And what is that that we believe? What God said? And I believe him for my personal, my family, my church and civic life. I find out what his word has to say about each area of my life, and I believe that. Amen? Amen. You know, the Lord is real big on one thing, and that is his will. He's real big on that. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And guess who God's going to do his will through on earth as it is in heaven? Us. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. He is not only, since he possesses the same attributes, natural attributes as God, meaning he's omnipresent, he's not only alongside us, he's inside us. We're covered. Amen. So the Holy Spirit will only speak to us about the will of God. And our answer to that is, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven.
I'm so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through. Broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is hurt and these four words. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done.
I know you feel me. I know you hear me. Thy will be done. Amen. If we can make that our mantra for 2023, that we're going to concentrate on God's will. I like it like Deacon Charles Tate said. He says that we concentrate on him because all he does is concentrate on us. And he says that in Matthew, 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, knowing who God is, that's going to take a lot of seeking, okay? Seek his kingdom, his authority, his rule, his power over us, right? And seek his righteousness, his way of thinking, acting, and doing. I guess I'm just trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, this year in 2023, we need to stop putting Jesus on the back burner. We need to stop skipping Bible class like Jesus commanded us to do it. We need to start doing the things that the Lord told us to do so we can get the things that God told us to get. You heard our assistant pastor, Janice Tate, mention yesterday that the Lord our God deals with us through covenants. And we need to understand what's dispensation of time that we're living in, because that's how he's dealing with us. We happen to be in the age of grace, and we're operating under the new covenant. And we need to understand what this age means and what that covenant is all about, so that we can get what God has promised us. All of the precious promises. I think I looked the other day, there are 8,888 promises in the Bible, and 7,487 of them apply to humankind. How many of us know 10 of them? Amen? God has put that many blessings in the Bible, and we won't read it. So in 2023, we're going to have to learn how to love the Lord more than anything or anybody. Amen? Any person, any place, anything, any thought, we got to love the Lord more. Amen?
God. don't know how many of you really love him today, but I love him with my whole heart, my mind and my soul, everything that is within me. I love Jesus.
Jesus more than anything. Thank you, Pastor O. As always, you always take us there. And, you know, we just want to thank you for being a good leader and shepherd. And we just thank you, you know, throughout the year. Thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. We thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear, listen, and back in the saddle from the prayer list, is our very own sister, Dr. Nico Gaston, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own sister, Dr. Nico Gaston, pray to the Lord when we pray. Yes.
Shoulders down, it's gotten too heavy for me. Y'all know I ain't no Hercules. Life moves on, stuff breaks down, people fall off. Gotta find a way to get over. Gotta find a way to get through, break through, hear you. Troubles they last, and as time passed, it's been one thing after the other. Way to go, I feel so alone. Life is so cold. I'm not very eloquent in speech. I don't always know how to sound holy when I speak. Papa told me something happens when I pray.
I
I know I can get through it, I pray. I know I can reach you and I go.
Ooh, thank you, Lord. When we pray, something happens. So let us go boldly to the throne of God. There we will receive his mercy and find grace to help us when we need it the most. Father God, you are the Alpha and Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Listen to our plea. Answer us because you are faithful and righteous. Lord, you are close to all who call on you. Yes, to all who call on you in truth. Therefore, we call on you as we surrender all. Thank you, Father God, for waking us up this morning and keeping your hands on our lives. Thank you for allowing us to see a new day, the beginning of a new year. Lord, we know you are the same God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, who created the heavens and the earth, as in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24, that made all things and stretched out the heavens. Lord, we know you are always in control. So thank you, Lord, for delivering us from our sins and from ourselves. Lord, I pray for this nation. Bind the evil that lurks in the hearts of mankind. Instead, fill their hearts with love. Lord, encamp your angels around our youth daily as they return to school from the holiday break. Let the leadership to, help the leadership to make unselfish decisions for our youth and always act in their best interest. Lord, may our youth know Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Lord, help the youth to remember who you are in the 23rd Psalm, Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd, I shall not want, because you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. You maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You leadeth me beside the still waters because you are Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. You restore my soul because you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. You leadest me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake because you are Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, because you are Jehovah Shammah. Lord, you are present. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, because you are Jehovah Ezer, the Lord my help. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, because you are Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my standard of victory. Thou anointest my head with oil because you are Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord, my holiness, my sanctification. My cup runneth over because you are Jehovah Manna, the Lord, my portion. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because you are Jehovah Shalat, the Lord, my inheritance. Lord, we know your unfailing love never ends. By your mercy, we have been kept from complete destruction. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new each day. Lord, you are our inheritance. Therefore, we will hope in you. Blog Talk listeners, hear the Lord's voice. Harden not your hearts and understand today is the day of salvation. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We know that it is not the will of the Lord for any to perish, and all should come to repentance. The Lord's words are very clear about obedience to him and loving him. Jeremiah 7:23 says, "When we obey the Lord, he will be our God, and we will be his people." When we do what the Lord says, all will be well. Remember, disobedience has a cost, but obedience has a reward. Lord, your name is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe. Lord, thank you for the peace we find from knowing we are safe in your arms. I say to all, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, all say amen.
Thank you, Lord. Safe in his arms. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Nico Gassman, for praying and making our requests known to God. We know we appreciate you. Welcome back and have a beautiful day. Safe in his arms. All right, so far we are having a great time this morning, but more to come. I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship service, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Everyone have a beautiful day and a blessed new year, 2023. Okay? All right. Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part. Icing on the cake. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce our speaker of the hour is our very own sister, Deaconess Dr. June Rogers. Prepare to receive Sister Deaconess June Rogers as she comes in her own unique way to introduce our speaker. Amen.
New, everything new, 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 everything new. New, everything new, I'm ready to go, ready for more, I'm ready for new, like a straight out the stove, you already know, I'm ready to flow, I'm ready to move, the old is new, I'm in Papa's new bag and it's still got the dirt, so you know that it's new.
Fired up and energetic like it did for me. And speaking of ready to do things new and the flow. It was so good to hear Nico, our sister, on the air this morning. Welcome back. So glad you're doing better. And then her daughter was also on before her, mother-daughter team. So God is doing some new things this year, and I'm excited about it. I hope you are as well. So good morning. Happy New Year. On behalf of the entire Runner for Christ Ministries family, consistent with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome, everyone, as we are blessed to participate in this live broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We may not be in a physical building, but make no mistake about it, we are having church right now. Before I read the word, I just want to give a shout out to my sister Rebecca Johnson. Last Sunday, she read the word with clarity and enthusiasm and something a little special that God has uniquely gifted her with. Thanks, Rebecca. So today, Pastor is about to start a new series. It's called God's Plan for Life and Family. And he's asked me to read passages from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. It is written, "And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word." Wow. It is just not possible to get tired of the word of God. I am awestruck with getting a mental image of being in the physical presence of God where we can fully experience him and our inheritance. Still, in the meantime, God has not left us on our own. He has given us his word as a roadmap, and he has given us a guide in Pastor O to help us notice those fine details that may go unnoticed. Wouldn't you agree that if you don't follow directions precisely, you can end up somewhere you did not intend to go? So this is a time of year for traditions, when people awaken and try to start anew. Here at Runner for Christ Ministries, our leader, Pastor O, ends one year with preaching on finances, and he begins a new year with speaking about perhaps the most important institution in our world, that is the family. Look, God could have put each person on his or own island, and sometimes I have to admit, I kind of wish he did, but that's not what he did. His will be done. We need to discover how to live with one another and learn what is important. To connect the dots, you must first recognize a dot, right? Yes, we want and need to get that reset. Pastor O, we are ready to attentively listen as you point out the markers and the direction on the road that is God's plan for family. Thank you for showing us the way. Now, will you please break it down for us?
Not a problem at all. Thank you, Digging the Jewel Rise. Appreciate you. I always appreciate the word. Tell Ray I said, what's up? Happy New Year.
All right. Blessings.
Hey, man. Here we are, y'all, in a brand new year. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you so much for your awesomeness and for your greatness and for your goodness. You could be a wild out, crazy God, and and just doing us like the devil tried to do us, but you're not. You are absolutely holy and righteous God, full of justice and righteousness, loving kindness and mercy, and all of this, Father, is undergirded by love. And we thank you, Father, for loving us just because you wanted to. We are here today because you want us here. We're not here because we did anything good or anything bad. We're here simply because you want us here. And that means you have a plan for us. Help us, Father, to get into your plan for us because you're God and you know everything. So you know the best way for us to go. And that is the way your word guides us. So help us, Father, to understand your plan for life and family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today, and bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours, but I am here today to change the way I think, to be transformed, so I can always know what your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life is. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 8 and 28, I believe it tells us, hey, Mika, how you doing? Hey, amen. That's my niece just about. But anyway, maybe I should close my way. But anyway, amen. Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, who are those who love God? Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They love God. That is the only way you can be in relationship with God. And if you love God, that's what you have to do. You have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It says, all things work together for the good of those who love God and called according to his purpose. Now, in the Old Testament, in 29:11 in Jeremiah, it says, God says, I know the plans. Thank you, Deacon Charles Tate. He taught me to see that S on the end of plan. I used to say plan. He corrected me and said it's plans. It's plural. It's pluralities in this. So anyway, amen, I know the plans that I have for you. That means God got plans for you. Amen. I know you got plans. I got plans. We all got plans, right? Amen. But Joyce Meyer say plans are what we make, and then God shows up and does his will, and then our plans fall apart. So what we want to do is get into God's plan. He didn't just put us in this world and tell us, now figure it out. That is what deists believe, okay? They believe that God cannot be contacted. You can't communicate with him. He's a necessary existence to keep everything going, but he's not personal. Well, our God, our Father in heaven, is very, very personal. Amen? And so he has a plan, and it's in the Bible. And that's why a lot of folks don't know God's plan. Somebody once said, if you want to hide something from people, put it in a book. I love what our assistant pastor, Janice Tate, is doing in our church school on Saturday. She's not just telling us what we believe, but why we believe it. Amen. And when you understand why you believe it, it becomes a part of you. And now you can articulate that to people. Amen. Rather than just, you need to believe in Jesus. And if they should happen to say to you why, then what? Amen. Amen. So God has a plan for us, and it's in the Bible. And all we need to do once we are saved, once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, all we need to do is read the plan. Jesus gave us his word so that we would know which way to go. I think it was Solomon who said, in all your ways, what? Acknowledge him and he'll do what? Direct your path. He said his word is a lamp, okay, so we can see, and a light so we can see the pathway clearly. Okay, so we can be guided. Too many Christians join the church, never read the Bible. My brother Richard, he went around doing a survey on his own, and he asked people, how many of y'all have read the whole Bible? It got so bad that he said, okay, this ain't working because ain't nobody read the whole Bible. So then he said, and he going to Christians, not unsaved people, that would be crazy, but you go to Christians. So he said that in turn, he said, well, this is what I'll do. How many people have read the New Testament? That's what led him to start to do his show called Training Day. He here every Tuesday at 4 o'clock right on this platform doing Training Day because he came to the conclusion that a whole lot of folks sitting in them pews been sitting there and chewing, and that's all they've been doing. They ain't been reading no Bible. They got a hearsay gospel. My pastor, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr., used to always say, you got a hearsay gospel. And I said, what is a hearsay gospel? And before, he didn't even hear me say that, but he knew somebody was asking that, and he said, it's what you heard somebody say. It's nothing that you sat down and the Holy Spirit taught you. You heard somebody say it, now you saying it. That's where we get all these crazy church sayings from that's not theologically correct. Amen. They're not even secularly correct. But anyway, amen, that's where that comes from. So what we're going to do in this first part of this God's plan for life and family, I want to let you know right now, God's plan is to get us to Revelation 21 and 22. But there is so much time in between Revelation 21, I mean Genesis 3:15 and Revelation 22:21. Genesis 3:15 tells us how he's going to get us to Revelation 21 and 22. But there's a lot in between those dates. It's as if you were standing in a graveyard or a cemetery and you're looking at one of those tombstones and there's a number at the beginning, a dash in the middle, and a number at the end. What we're going to talk about today is the dash, okay? Because we know in the beginning God. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, I believe, tells us that we know God made everything, and everything God made did not make everything we see. God made it. In Genesis chapter 1, it tells us God said, let there be. And by the end of Genesis chapter 1, everything that we know today was. Okay? Is. However that's supposed to go. I know Rebecca just went crazy. That's my copy editor, amen. She's like, what did you just say? Anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So, amen. God created everything. We know that. God created Adam and Eve. We know that. In chapter 1, God is seen and known as Elohim. Why? Because there's no speaking of a relationship there. Only in theological terms. It's God created the heavens and the earth and sustains it, and God created man and sustains man. That's what Genesis chapter 1 tells us. So we see Elohim. We see the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, not three gods, but one God with three separate and distinct personalities. God functions as Father, Jesus functions as Son, the Holy Spirit functions as, you could say, the power of God to get it done. Amen? He is the one who Jesus, when he left here, said, I'm not going to leave you like orphans, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he is a person. He is not an influence. He is not a thing or a thought. He is a person. And that person is alongside us, and that person is inside of us. And they were in the act of creation. Let me say it to you like this. If you will, God thinks it. Jesus says it. Holy Spirit does it. And when you go to the New Testament and try to look that up, you see the same thing where Jesus said in John 16 and verses 12 through 17, listen to what the Lord said about what I just said. I have so much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. He's talking to his disciples. He's about to be up out of here, right? And he wants to get them these last words before he leaves. But when he... Notice he said he, not it, not an influence person. When you use that word he, you're talking about mind, you're talking about will, you're talking about emotions. You're talking about a person, okay? So when he, the Spirit of truth, amen, if you don't like the truth, you ain't going to get along with the Holy Spirit very well. When he comes, guess what he's going to do? He's going to guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. In other words, you ain't having no personal conversation with the Holy Spirit talking about what you going to do today. I don't know. Where you going today? I don't know. No, he don't have those kinds of conversations. He will speak only what he hears. And he'll tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me. See, so the Holy Spirit ain't going to come having these little crazy conversations you think people be saying, the Spirit told me. No, he will glorify me. And who is the me? Jesus. So it's not you. It's not me. It's Jesus. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. God said, listen, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That's what Jesus said. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So God gives it to Jesus. Jesus gives it to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives it to us. Amen? Amen. God bless. I love that. Amen. So we know what happened, right? In Genesis chapter 2, God married up Adam and Eve. We'll just, long story short, he married up Adam and Eve. And then we get to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve fall off. Amen. The devil shows up. Oh, he was there all the time. When God said, let there be light, guess what was upon the face of the deep? Darkness. That is where the devil lived. That was his abode when God came out of heaven. Amen. And so he shows up. He didn't show up in chapter 1 when God was doing all the creating. See, God went into his little stanky mess, okay, his little dark place, and said, let there be light in this place. Are you getting this? God created us right where the devil got kicked to. Nothing but darkness was existent. But God brought light into it, and the devil was there, and he watched as God created on the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. And he even saw when God made man. Then he watched God over in Genesis chapter 2. He watched God explain to us that now I'm in relationship with man. My name has changed. I'm now Jehovah, or capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That means the Lord our God. He uses that name because he's in relation. Remember when God told Moses, by my name Jehovah, I was not known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but God Almighty? Okay, but in this instance, in Genesis chapter 2, he is known as Jehovah. What does that mean? The Lord our God. What does that mean, Pastor O? So I'm glad you come to church because you ask stuff like that. That is, the Lord gets to tell us what to do. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You are not your own. 1 Corinthians 6, you are bought at a price. You belong to Jesus because he purchased you with his blood. Amen. So we need to become like Jesus. The work that we do with our hands need to be him working through us. The words that we speak out this mouth need to be him talking through us. Amen. We always should seek to do those things that please our Father. That's Jesus. So in Genesis chapter 2, the devil is watching, and he watched God perform the first marriage on earth. He married Adam and Eve. Amen. Eve was not born married. Adam was not born married. They were born single. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the single life, that God got a plan for that. God got a plan for married people with children. Amen. We're going to get into all of that. But right now, we're talking about how is God going to get us from Genesis 3:15 all the way to Revelation 21 and 22. That's what we're talking about right now. So the devil watched the first marriage take place on earth. And then he came up with a plan. He said, okay, so God's with the man, and the man is over the woman. I need to get to this woman. I need to upset God's order of things so the angels that's watching over them won't enter into their disobedience with them or even their thoughts of disobedience, and they'll be out of the way. And then I can take the rule that God gave them in Genesis 1 and 26. Let them rule. And when God spoke those words, if God say to you, you going up on your job, and God says, let you rule, guess what? Ain't nobody on your job can stop you from progressing. Nobody. I don't care what it is you're doing. If the Lord says, let them, if you're doing it according to God's word, you cannot be stopped. Are you telling me the devil can stop God's word from coming to pass? The Lord says the devil is a lie. The Lord said, my word shall never return to me void, having not accomplished what I sent it out to do. So when God says something, that is something, that something's going to happen. Amen. So the devil come up in chapter 3, and he starts up a conversation with the woman. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you will see that God got an alignment. Amen. That he works through. He created the man first. He was single under God. God gave him a job and a place to live and a rule to live by. Amen. He was single. There was no woman. He was a single man under God, under his authority, living where God gave him to live, doing what God gave him to do, and living according to the law, the one law, don't eat from that tree that God gave him. Then God created a woman. And God brought this woman to the man. And then God said, the two shall become one. And the marriage was done. Okay? And then they started having kids. So we see right from the beginning, God's plan for us is to get married before we start having kids. Okay, I didn't know that until I had the third one. But anyway, praise the Lord for 1 John. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, praise God for 1 John 1:9. Because when I found out you weren't supposed to have kids until you got married, I'm like, oops, 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 Jesus. 1 John 1:9, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So Adam and Eve got married. Okay? Satan rose up. Something is going on with Adam and Eve about God. Both of them. Not just Eve. I know Eve was the one who got into the conversation with the devil. And once she did, God's alignment was thrown out of alignment. And so the guardian angels who wasn't kicked out of heaven, they like, okay, that is not God's will. That is not God's alignment. We out. And so they were gone. Now you have Adam and Eve facing the devil alone. Why? Because they're choosing to leave God. They haven't done it yet, but they're about to. The devil says, has God said that you can't eat from none of these trees in the garden? None of them? He knew what God said. Liar. Okay? They said, no. Eve said, no. Wait a minute. I thought Adam was the man. I thought Adam was, according to God's alignment, I thought he was the head. Oh, not so much. I guess he was just trying to keep peace in his house. Huh? I just let her do whatever she wanted to do. I'm just trying to keep peace. We'll talk a whole lot about that later, but right now we're just trying to see how God's going to get us from here to there. Amen. So the devil rose up, has this conversation with him, and all of a sudden, the lust of the eyes happened. It is a tree to be desired. It looks good. And then lust of the flesh happened. It's a tree that's good for food. Flesh hungry. And then the pride of life happened. It's a tree to be desired to make one wise. And then after they concluded that God had lied to them, because the devil told them, you ain't going to die. God just jealous of y'all. He know if y'all eat from this tree, y'all going to become like him. Don't nobody tell him what to do. Nobody tell him when to stand up or sit down. Y'all going to be like him. He mad. He don't want that. So that's why he told you to all eat from the tree. That's all I'm saying. And so now they know what God said. Don't eat from this tree, you're going to die. You ever wonder why they didn't try to eat from the tree of life until after they messed up? So God had to kick them out of the garden to keep them from messing themselves up forever. Amen. That's why they got pumped out. Amen. But anyway, they look at this tree now, and they see it in a whole different light, and they see God in a whole different light. Why he don't want us to have this tree? The snake, the talking snake, done told us that this tree, God's a liar. We're not going to die like God said. But in fact, we're going to become like God, self-determining. You can't tell me what to do, sound like a teenager, don't. You can't tell, living in your house, eating your food, sleeping in your bed, living in one of your rooms, riding around in your car, wearing your clothes you bought, and then you can't tell me what to do. That's what Adam and Eve about to do. They're young adults, just got married, and getting ready to throw God out. God gave them life. God gave them a place to live. God gave them power to rule. God gave them food to eat. God gave them a job and one little law. And they don't want God no more. So they decide to go along with what the devil is saying. And how many of y'all know the devil is a lie? Now, Eve ate. Nothing happened. You know why nothing happened? Because she was under Adam. Adam told her what God said, but God told Adam what he said. So the covenant was with Adam. Amen? So when Adam ate, the covenant was broken. And then sin happened. And that's when they found out the devil is a lie. Because they didn't, that tree might have looked good, but it wasn't good for food. And it didn't make them wise. You know how I know it didn't make them wise? Because now God, they running behind trees, sewing together fig leaves, trying to hide from God. Already, they're trying to figure out a way to hide their sin from God. But God knows that they have sinned. So the Lord shows up in the garden. Ain't that how he do right after you sin? He show up. God shows up. Hey, what you doing? How's it going? How's everything working with you? Adam, why are you hiding behind this tree? Where are you? In other words, God wasn't blind, crippled, or crazy. God knew that Adam was no longer in fellowship with him. God knew the covenant was broken. So he says, why are you not in relationship with me anymore? That's literally what he was saying. Why did you break the one rule I gave you? And what did he do? You know what we do. We start lying. Lying and blaming, aiming and blaming. That's what we do. Amen. The woman that you gave to be with me, you know what she did? She gave me and I ate. So y'all two need to get together and figure out why I'm over here messed up like this. And so he gets no confession out of Adam. So he goes to Eve. What is this thou hast done? And she says, oh, please, this boy going to throw me under the bus. Oh, no, he ain't. Well, the snake that you made, you know, the one that was wiser than all the other animals, well, he tricked me and I ate. So you need to get with the snake and figure out how I'm in this mess. Neither one of them confessed. You can confess your sins or not. God, look, you can have God forgive you of your sin, or you can have God bounce you from your sin. One or the other. Amen. Like you used to tell me all the time, look, Pastor, you're going to do this. We can do it the easy way or the hard way, but it's going to happen because Jesus said, I am working on you. I'm going to keep working on you until you get to heaven where you'll be perfect. But while you're down there on that earth, I'm going to be working on you. And so we did some stuff the hard way. We did some stuff the easy way. I learned how to pay child support the hard way. I went to the Detroit House of Correction for 6 months. Praise the Lord, he got me out in 8 days. But I learned that the hard way. But I learned the next time they sent me a letter, I called them up. I said, what do you want? I didn't ignore them. And I ain't getting no more show calls letters. So Adam and Eve, hiding from God. And that's when we get to Genesis 3:15. The Lord says they don't know how to make it up with God. You can't make it. You can't hide sin. You can't dress sin up. That's what they tried. They literally tried to hide from God. God is omnipresent, everywhere present at once. They're trying to hide from him. So they've gone straight crazy and become ignorant. They're ignorant of the fact that God is everywhere. So when he asked Adam, where art thou? And he just started lying. When he asked Eve, what have you done? She just started lying and aiming and blaming. That's what they did. That's what we do, right? So that's when we get here to Genesis, because God got to fix this. Amen? He has a plan. And his plan is for us to come home to live in heaven with him. Jesus said, John, over there in John 14, he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back to get you, so that you can be with me where I am. Where is Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father? In heaven. And that's where he wants to take us. How is he going to get us there? We've just broken covenant with God. And now we have a crapped out sin nature that does nothing but sin. Only wants to sin. Listen to how John describes the sin nature. And this is what happened to Adam and Eve. And this is what fell on us. Go to 1 John chapter 2. This is the sin nature. This is Genesis all over again. Listen to what the Lord says over here through John's pen. He says, do not love the world. Adam and Eve could have used some of that, huh? Or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, lust of the flesh, good for food, lust of the eyes, a tree to be desired, and the pride of life is going to make us better somehow. Don't we always believe that when we get ready to sin, that somehow this sin is going to make our life better? Seriously, really? That's like throwing a brick up, not moving, and when it comes down, somehow your life going to be better. I don't think so. Comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires. Oh, guess what? When you die, they pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. It's like when Jesus told us over there in Matthew chapter 6, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, because moth, rust, and thieves going to get that, and death going to take it all from you. Rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Thieves, moths, rust don't exist there, and you won't die and lose the true treasures, the true riches, property that you get to keep as your own. John 16, read that from 9 to about whatever. Just read that. Amen? So Adam and Eve have fallen in love with the world, and they've gotten themselves in a situation where they're about to be bounced from the garden. But the Lord our God is very merciful. He is very kind. He's filled with loving kindness and filled with mercy. And it was not God's plan to make man and then let him be destroyed. That would be stupid. That's the kind of stuff we do. God had a much bigger plan, and his plan was to bring us to earth, to heaven. But there's a problem. Man has sinned. And listen to what the Lord says. I will put enmity between you and the woman. In other words, Satan is an enemy of all mankind. Even Satan worshipers are hated by the devil. Yes, you cannot do enough. You can't love the devil enough. You can't be devilish enough for him to love you. He gonna hate you. And what Satan wants to give you is eternal separation from God, the same thing he tried to give Adam and Eve. But God finna fix that up right here. I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. Now, the devil is a hater of all mankind. There is no human being the devil don't hate. You can be crazy and try to worship him if you want to, but he still hates you, and he wants you to go where he's going. Eternal separation from God. Call it what you want. It's eternal separation from God, and that is something I do not want. I remember how I felt when I didn't know him, when my father could praise him, when my mother would praise him, when my brothers and sisters knew him, but I did not. I'm over here as a simple-head atheist, mad at God for all kinds of reasons. And an atheist, I'm mad at God who don't exist. That was crazy enough. So Satan hates all mankind. Now watch this. And between your offspring and hers, okay, God puts enmity. In other words, there will be those who follow the devil and those who follow God. And isn't that the way it is today? In America, there's now estimated to be, or in the world, 8 billion people. There's 340 million in America. But there's 8 billion in the world now. That's what they say. I don't know who went around and counted everybody, but that's what they say. And it's estimated that 2.5 billion of those, or now 2.7 billion of those, are saved. That means 3 billion are not? Amen? So there's us, the 2.7 billion, and then there's the 4.3 billion that's not saved. But see, if you only hang around in Christian circles, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, but not only. If you're never around unsaved people, will you please tell me who you're going to lead to Jesus? If you don't go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, who are you going to lead to Jesus? You can't hang around me, Christian Joe, us four and no more. You got to, amen, thank you, Reverend James O'Rear. Amen. You're going to have to go where Jesus always went, where unsaved. He went over Simon the Pharisee's house. He was unsaved even though he's a Pharisee. And he went over the little guy who climbed up the tree. I can't think of his name right now. Zacchaeus, I think it was, the chief tax collector. Jesus went over to his house, went over to Matthew's house, and Matthew had some skanky kind of women up in there. But Jesus went over there. Now, here's the thing with Jesus. Wherever he went, he stayed Jesus. He didn't go into Simon's house and become a Pharisee. He didn't go to Matthew's house and start chilling with the, you know. And he, amen, you get the point? Amen. So there'll be a difference between those who serve God and those who do not. And for us as Christians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, give us a big picture into what we're supposed to be like. We're supposed to live quiet lives. We're supposed to mind our own business, and work with our own hands. Then we get the respect of those who are outside the body of Christ, and here's the older blessed part. You won't be dependent on anybody. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So God says he's going to put enmity between the woman and between her. Now, here's the part you want to hear. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. That's how God's going to get us to Revelation 21 and 22. He right here is promising that somebody is coming with the power to overrule the devil who has stolen the rule from man. Well, he didn't steal it. They gave it to him. God gave man, let them rule, and then the devil figured out a way to get the rule, and now he's the prince, the power of the air. He's the wickedness in high places, him and his demonic buddies that got kicked out of heaven with him. And now the whole earth has to be destroyed, and even these bodies we live in, they have to go. Why? Because of what he did and what we did. But praise God that Jesus is coming. If you'll just let me go ahead and say that because I'm running out of time. Jesus is coming to crush the devil's head. What does that word head mean? That Jesus is going to literally come and put his foot on his head and smash it? Well, the devil is a spirit, so it'd be kind of hard to do that since he don't have no head. Amen. The only way Satan can operate in this physical realm is to get a physical person to do his bidding, just like God operates in this physical realm by getting us, filling us with the Holy Spirit, right? And we do his bidding. So there's those who serve him, and Malachi says the same thing. You will again see the distinction between those who serve God and those who do not. And it's all based on who does God's will. If you're not doing God's will and you don't even know God's will, you are not serving God. If you're not intentionally guiding your personal family, church, and civic life by his word, you are not living for him. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying you're not living for him. He is not Lord yet. He's just your Savior. And that's good because you won't go to hell. But he's not Lord, and he wants to be Lord. That's why we call him the Lord. That's why he uses that name, Jehovah, the Lord. That's why he uses Adonai, master, owner. That's why he uses those names, so we don't mess it up or mix it up. But Jesus is coming to crush Satan's head, but he's going to strike his heel. What does that mean? The cross. The way Jesus crushes, isn't God awesome? When it looked like we're dead and through and it's all over, he's using that to gain victory. Yes, he's using that to gain victory. Now, after God kicks them out of the garden, because they got to run to a close, after God kicked them out of the garden, he fixed it up with them, right? He pronounces judgment on them, tell Adam, food ain't just going to grow for you no more. You're going to need a hoe. You're going to need a rake, a John Deere tractor, a big old farm. You're going to need a whole lot of stuff because it ain't going to just happen automatically for you no more. You're going to have to get it, right? And then he told Eve, well, you know how, you know, you don't know, but babies would have just popped out with no pain. Well, no, they're not going to pop out like that no more. You're going to remember this for the rest of your life, and every generation after you will remember the same thing. See, God created Adam and Eve, but everybody else after that came from Eve. Amen. So God takes an animal, slays that animal. Adam and Eve, see, because they couldn't cover their nakedness and they couldn't fix it up with God, so God fixed it up with them. And so these animals become a type of Christ. They cover their shame. They cover their nakedness. The shed blood has helped to restore them back to God. Now, this is not Christ. It's a type of Christ. It's a demonstration of how God and what strikes his heel mean. It's a demonstration of how God is going to make it right. Amen? And so the journey begins. Now they're out of the garden. And right away we see the distinction between good and evil, between those who serve God and those who don't. Abel, righteous Abel, as Hebrews proclaims him, right? And then there's Cain. Abel serves the Lord. The Lord is pleased with him and his offering. Then there's Cain. He don't like the Lord, and the Lord is not pleased with him or his offering. So right away we see it's Satan's people, there's God's people. When you look at Genesis chapter 4, those are Satan's folks. When you look at Genesis chapter 5, those are God's folks. And by the time you get to Genesis chapter 6, Satan has twisted up everybody except for Noah and his family. They make it across. God reestablishes his covenant with them in chapter 9. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, increase in number, and rule over it. So he gives them back the rule under him. But then we live in a world now where there are people who are not under God. And so the battle goes. We get to Abraham, and we see Satan trying to stop Abraham. He take his wife. Why? Because God is going to crush his head, and he knows for Abraham to take part in God's plan to get them from earth to heaven, he has to have a wife. So they go down to Egypt because there's a famine in the land that God led Abraham to, and his wife get taken twice, in Gerar and in Egypt. Satan trying to stop the plan. Abraham has a son named Isaac, but Satan tries to mess that up with Hagar and Ishmael. God straightens that mess out and reestablishes the covenant with Abraham and gives him the covenant of circumcision. God's getting ready to create a people now. Okay, and then we get to Abraham gives us Isaac, and then we get Jacob. Jacob gives us the 12 tribes of Israel. We know about Joseph. He goes down to Egypt ahead of the 12 tribes, sets everything up for them. They get there, and then a Pharaoh rises up that don't know him, put them in the bitter bondage chattel slavery, and they stay there for 430 years. God sends a man named Moses to bring them out. He brings them out into the wilderness. They don't do so hot. Their faith is whack. So the people who came out, 2 million plus, didn't make it into the promised land, but their kids did. Their kids go into the promised land under Joshua, who leads them to smashing success, but they refuse to take all the land that God is giving them. And so God says to them in the book of Judges that since you refuse to take all the land that I gave you, I'm going to lead these people in the land to try you to see if you're going to serve the Lord or not. In other words, Satan's going to be around to try you, to keep you on point. Amen. And after we go through the book of the Judges, where they go up and down, they serve God, they can't lose. They don't serve God, they can't win. And then they do the ultimate, they ask for a king. They tell Samuel, we want a king like the other nations around us, but the problem is the other nations around them don't serve God. And so God gives them Saul, son of Kish. He fails miserably. And then he's replaced with David, who is replaced with Solomon, who is replaced with Rehoboam, who makes Israel mad. They walk away to 10 northern tribes. Benjamin and Judah is left in the south. And so it goes. One good king, one bad king. Bunch of bad kings, no good kings. And so it goes. They go into captivity, and God's going to punish Babylon for 70 years, and they there for the whole 70 years. Daniel actually comes out and meets Cyrus, who God prophesied about in Isaiah chapter 45. So they go into captivity. They come out of captivity. When you get to Malachi, you can see they are right back at it. So they're not doing any good at all. Satan has twisted them up once again. And so God gives them the hand for 400 years, which we call the intertestamental period. Well, we come back, And John the Baptist is once again speaking inspired word from heaven, okay? And so John the Baptist heralds Jesus. Jesus comes onto the scene, does his public ministry for 3 years, and now his heel is about to be struck, and he's put on the cross, raised on the third day for our justification, spends 40 days and nights with his disciples, giving them many convincing proofs that he's really alive and back from the dead. Just 50 days after death, burial, and resurrection, he ascends back into heaven. Okay? The church moves out in a missionary way, and they evangelize the whole Roman world. And from that day to this day, amen, we've been hearing about Jesus. Now, Jesus is coming back, according to 1 Thessalonians 14, to rapture us out of this world. We'll spend 7 years in heaven with him while all hell is breaking loose on earth, called the tribulation period. Then we come back from heaven with Jesus to rule and to reign with him for 1,000 years in a utopian society where everything's perfect. The devil gets locked up so he can't mess people up anymore. And so at the end of the 1,000 years, he gets let out. He goes out. Folks who live through the tribulation with mortal bodies are susceptible to being tricked by him, not us, because we got raptured. We have glorified bodies, and we can't be tricked. And so they mount up with the devil against us and Jesus. They lose. Fire falls from heaven and consumes them, and they are all ushered into Revelation chapter 20, where they go to the white throne judgment. Folks who have accepted Christ, they have nothing to fear from the second death because they've already taken part in what's called the first resurrection, and that's when you accepted Christ as your Savior. Well, needless to say, nobody wins their case standing over there in front of Jesus, and they all end up in hell. And then we come to Revelation chapter 21 and 22. All of the smoke has cleared, and now the Lord our God can lavish on us. Can you imagine what the Lord has in store for us? I ain't through, but I got to quit. I might pick up a little bit more on this on next week, but I'm going to play this song, and then we're going to get some announcements. God bless you. I'll see you on the other side of this song. I ain't through, but I'm through now. Hey, we're going to have communion, so get yourself together for communion. Go find you something that symbolizes the bread, something that symbolizes the blood, and we'll do communion right after this song.
Street.
Amen, amen, amen. Don't worry about it. Next week we come right back at this, and we got a long way to go. We're going to be bringing in the single people. That's what we're going to talk about next week, and then we're going to bring in the married people, and then we're going to be in the married people with children. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for the communion because it constantly reminds us of our connection to Jesus Christ. And it constantly reminds us that he is coming back for us. And so we need to stay stay at the work, keep up the work that we're supposed to be doing. And it keeps us ever reminded of the great sacrifice that he made by shedding his blood and having his body bruised on the cross for us. And so that sin was completely atoned for, and God's, our Father's, holiness and justice and righteousness was fully fulfilled. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing that for us. Now, Lord, we ask that you accept our confession for every single sin that we've committed. We want to be clean. We don't want to be like the folks who in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 were abusing the communion and abusing their relationship with you, and some of them fell asleep and some even died. We don't want to do that, Lord. We want to show respect for you. So we confess our sins and ask that you bless this bread, bless this wine. These are symbols, Jesus, that you gave us. This is an ordinance that you gave us that we are to observe, and again, to remind us of our relationship with you. So we ask now that you bless the bread, bless the wine, bless the people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, grab your whatever it is you have to symbolize the bread. Okay. And then grab whatever it is you have to symbolize the wine. For I have received of the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us all eat together. And in the same way, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us all drink together. Now, when they had that first great communion with Jesus himself, the Bible tells us that they went out and sang a song. But instead, we got Crystal, and she got announcements.
Right, because she is not going to sing a song.
Unless y'all want me to sing a song.
No, no, no. Pastor's not going to sing a song. Crystal's not going to sing a song. BB and CC handled that for us already, okay? So when we they already worked that out. Amen. Amen. So, Pastor, we're going to let you bring it down and catch a breath. I know you did, but you're kind of moving at 100 right now for time's
Thank
sake.
You.
So, you're welcome. Good morning. I mean, I only know one person in the world who can literally go through the entire Bible in 30 minutes. Pastor O has once again done that for us. My goodness gracious, to know the word like he knows it, to study the word and to allow the Holy Spirit to just imprint that word on our hearts. I mean, it is. I'm always impressed every time I hear Pastor O. It's like, God, how can you remember all that stuff? Well, Pastor will be the first person to tell you he has no memory. So we know that the Holy Spirit is always doing his job. Amen. So, Pastor, thank you so much for the start of this sermon series. We know that there is so much more to come, and it encompasses everybody, married people, single people, children, and it all ties into the word of God. So we thank you for starting our new year out with a new sermon series. Amen. And we look forward to hearing more from you. Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. It is now 2023. Unbelievable, but God is still so good. Amen. So by way of a couple of quick announcements, excuse me, do not forget that our Blog Talk Radio Saturday Church School happens at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Our Blog Talk Radio Saturday worship service begins at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and our Blog Talk Radio Sunday worship service begins on Sundays at 10 a.m. Amen. We have building work going on. Only God knows how long it's going to take, but his timing is always perfect. So until then, we are here on Blog Talk Radio. Amen, and have not missed a beat. Praise God. All right, so don't forget, every Monday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading class here on Blog Talk Radio. This week, we're going to be going into Jeremiah chapters 41 to 45. So the questions are already available on the church website, as well as they have already been emailed out. So if you're on pastor's email list, you got that. If not, just go to the church website, excuse me, rscm.org, click on Bible classes, and you'll be able to find the questions for the class. Every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is here on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. Every Saturday at 11:30 a.m., Pastor Janice Tate holds her women's Bible class through Bondage Breaker Ministries, which she is the president of, as well as the teacher of the women's Bible class. Again, it happens on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m. If you want to participate, get in contact with Pastor Janice Tate. Really quickly, we have a new announcement. We are going to have a new class that's going to be facilitated by Deaconess Dr. Drew Rogers. It begins on Monday, January 16th at 6 p.m. There is a whole announcement that goes with that, but for the sake of time, just please visit the church website. It is there. Amen. It is entitled, there's a study guide that's going to be used that's going to be entitled The Book of Second Peter by Charlie Avila. Okay, so just go to our church website. It's a class about the last days. Amen. So it is already listed on our church website. Just click on it. You'll get all the information about it. Again, it starts on January 16th, so you've got a couple of weeks. You do have to have the book to participate in the class. So again, to get all the info on that, just go to our church website. Amen. If you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings, rfcm.org is the place to go. Don't forget to check the church website. Again, rfcm.org for all the information about what's going on at Run for Christ Ministries. We know Pastor has put a lot of hard work into it. There's jobs, there's resources, there's books, there's classes, there's blog talks, there's services. There's everything that you could ever need from Running for Christ Ministries on our church website. So make sure to check that out. Also, it's 2023. I do not have to tell people to check your email. That's how we keep in contact with one another outside of texting and social media and Snapchatting and all of those other things. So make sure you keep up with your emails, amen, because Pastor sends out a lot of information via emails to everyone, amen. We want to say what's up, Happy New Year to all of our mothers that Run for Christ Ministries. We love them. We miss them, amen. Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. We always got at least one of them holding it down in person on Sundays, and we know that we had at least one, if not more, of them listening this morning. So we love them. We miss them. Okay, we need to take time to call and check on one another, email, social media, whatever it is that you need to do, however it is that you do what you do, okay, make sure that you do it, not to just be negative and mean on social media, but to reach out to your church family and especially to our mothers. So make it a New Year's resolution, put it on your to-do list, reach out to one person a week, you know, just kind of get that in rotation. It's just, you know, for us to make sure that we stay on top of one another as a church family. Amen. So if you need any information, addresses or phone numbers for any of the members at Running for Christ Ministries, please make sure to reach out to Sheila. Amen. Always remember to keep all of our mothers as well as all of our members in prayer. As we enter into the new year, pray for Pastor O and Sheila. Pray for one another, all of our Run for Christ Ministry members who are facing upcoming tests and surgeries and procedures, the construction / reconstruction of our church building, of course, our young people, our old people, our middle-aged people, amen, just people, okay? All of our leaders that will be taking office in the House and the Senate. I'm not into politics, but I know there's a huge thing going on with that, so we just need to make sure that we pray for our communities that we live in and those who have the rule over us, no matter what area of government, our employment situation. Some people need jobs. Some people want jobs. Some people don't want to work anymore. They're ready to retire. Some people want new jobs. Okay, so let's just pray for that whole entire situation. Amen. Also, don't forget about the Blog Talk Network. They have been very wonderful to us, and we appreciate them. God bless them for all that they do. We know that they are on the East Coast, and East Coast has had more snow than we in Michigan have probably ever seen. So let's continue to keep them lifted up in prayer as the snow melts, and as it melts, it turns into water. So, you know, there's a potential flooding situation there. So just remember to keep them also lifted up in prayer. Don't forget about our members at Run for Christ Ministries, Nico Gaston. It was so good to hear her voice this morning with that powerful prayer, as always, that she gives. Keep in prayer, Deacon Rayfield Rogers, again, all of our mothers, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, Keela Freeman, who is in the hospital, as well as Ed Johnson. Amen. That's Sister Rebecca Johnson's husband. President, Vice President, we talked about all that. Kids, everybody, everything, everywhere, all the time. Amen. Pray without ceasing. Okay? Happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners celebrating this day or for this entire month. Amen. So Mother Irma is opening us up this month with her birthday on the 4th. Baby Holy Ghost, Pen Pal, Mrs. Overall, Sheila, whatever your name is for her. Amen. She's celebrating her birthday on the 4th as well. And Doris Gaither will be shutting us down this month with her birthday on the 30th. Three birthdays, that's all I know about, but happy birthday to everybody else who wants to keep their birthdays a secret. Amen. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today, short and sweet, entitled Your Strategy for This New Year, and it's from Love Worth Finding with Adrienne Rogers. These things have I spoken unto you that you might remain, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's John 15:11. So do you depend upon Jesus Christ? I mean, totally depend on him. Here's the way you can tell. Are you resting in him today? You see, when you are totally committed to Jesus Christ, you rest in him. You realize that for your every need, it is necessary for him to supply it. So have you ever looked at a branch? It has no other source of life than the vine. If you ask that branch, what's your secret for healthy leaves and fruit, the branch would answer, my secret is that I'm resting in the vine. But what about your needs, you ask? I know I have needs, but that's not my responsibility. My response is to rest in the vine's ability to provide. I don't produce the fruit. I just bear it. Are you resting in the Lord today? Will you choose to rest in him for the next 365 days? John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So remember to abide in the vine. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
Wow, Crystal, even when I mess up, you make it right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Baby Holy Ghost kept running in here giving me the time sign. Jesus said,
time,
go.
Man.
Keep going. I'm like, if she's going to come in here and beat me up, Jesus, you going to protect me? Amen. So,
amen.
We off and running. Brand new year.
Off and running. Yes.
And here we go again. Praise God.
Amen.
A whole other year.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Crystal Filmier. I say
you're
what's
welcome.
Up. Happy
Absolutely.
New Year and stuff.
Happy New Year and stuff. Amen.
Be blessed, my sister. Love you.
Amen. Love you too.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who got us through last year and starting out this year with us going forward. We thank God for you for being faithful. And even though we're not in the building, they're still working on the church. And, you know, it's going to be a brand new church when we go back in. So we're looking forward to that. But I thank you for staying faithful while we're here on Blog Talk Radio. A lot of Christians, if they don't go to church into a building, and they tend to just fall all the way off. And I just thank God that you stand, we're staying together, okay? And that's a good thing, and I really praise him and thank him for that, okay? And big time on the class coming up on the 16th, the book is by Charlie Avila. It's only 10 chapters, and I've committed myself to read. I've already read two. So I'm committing myself to read a chapter a day so I can be ready when the class starts, okay? So like Crystal said, go to our church website, get the book. Don't ever think that you are learning too much from the Lord. I've been studying since 1975. Jesus intrigued me then, and I'm still as intrigued as if it was 1975. I have never, you know how Romans chapter 12 tells you not to lose your zeal for the Lord? I thank him that he has found a way to keep me chasing, to keep me seeking him. I've been seeking him since 1975, and I've never stopped because I read in the Word that when you ask, you seek, and you knock, you get. Those are the people who get. So if I ain't asking him nothing, if I ain't seeking him for nothing, if I ain't knocking on his door for nothing, then I'm probably not getting nothing. So, amen. That's the benefits of reading God's word. Amen. So let the Lord use you this year. Let him see all Jesus want to do. Look, Jesus is this good. We have heaven waiting on us, right? We can't miss it. You can't mess it up. You didn't give yourself salvation. He saved you, so he ain't going to lose you. Those that the Father has given me, I've lost none. So he ain't going to lose you. Amen. But Jesus is this deep. He don't just want you to come to heaven and be there. He literally wants you to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Okay? And he said, use the things I give you on earth to make friends for yourselves. So when you die and that stuff is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. And then you can begin to enjoy the true riches. True riches are riches that come from God and you don't lose them. Property of your own is exactly that. All the property you have here, you're going to lose when you die. But if you use the property you have here in the Lord's service, then when you get there, you'll have property of your own. Amen. That's what he wants for us. So, amen, this is a brand new year. And again, I want to thank all of the members of Running for Christ Ministries. Don't think it's just Pastor O making this happen. It's not. I was scared to death when Jesus called me to do this. And I said, I don't know how to do that. I kept crying and saying, Lord, I don't know how to do this stuff. I'm going to mess it up and you're going to punish me. And he said, I'm going to send you people you don't even know, like Crystal, like June. I didn't even know Kathy, okay, until Running for Christ happened. Then I got to know all these people, and they have come alongside me like Assistant Pastor Janet Tate. You ain't going to find no better teacher. She's tough, but she's going to teach you something. Okay, she's going to make a Christian out of you. You're going to be discipled. Amen. That's why she's the senior teacher at Running for Christ. But God brought all these, and she's my cousin, but we didn't hang. But God brought all of these people together to make Running for Christ what he wants it to be. And as we come on the scene and go off the scene, like some came, Mother Phillips, she came. She sat home with Jesus, Mother Burgess, Lisa, she used to just straighten me out all the time. Do you know I miss that? I really, really, because she was my go-to person. But Maureen Tate, but, you know, Crystal's mother, she was the first one in class, Mother Luisa Portuando. I used to love saying that. Amen. But anyway, all of these folks who came and went contributed. And now we are contributing. Amen. So I thank God for each and every one of you, and I pray that this year be our best year to date. Amen. All right. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before our God and Father with exceeding joy, to God our Savior alone, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. And the whole church saying, amen.
Have our second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's a new light every day. He He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. I lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life, and only he can hear my cry. I wanna thank you, God, for giving me one more day to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I sing it out loud. I sing it all day. This song is my prayer I give to only you. I know it can't compare to the gift from you. You gave me your love. You gave me your son. Ooh, oh, is not his way. Now I say